Based on 2nd Book of Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, we will share a message titled, The Unrighteous Are Kept Under Punishment. The Unrighteous Are Kept Under Punishment. 2nd Book of Peter is a letter left by the Apostle Peter, recognizing his impending death, serving as his final testament before his passing. He taught with all his might until the very end, so that even after his death, the church will remember and always keep in mind the day of the Lord's coming, and thus will be prepared for the day of the Lord. Meanwhile, there are also false teachers who teach false gospels and false doctrines. These individuals, with their deceitful words, hinder the truth by claiming there would be no judgment on the day of the Lord, and mislead people into disbelieving the Lord's day. In today's text, Peter proves the certainty of God's judgment by presenting past events of judgment. Throughout history, God has already executed judgment. God himself has demonstrated that he is a God who judges sin. Peter lists three such judgment events. First, God did not spare the fallen angels, but judged them. Second, during Noah's time, he judged the unrighteous world with a flood. And he judged Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. Though there are those who deceive with cunningly devised tales and false words, claiming there is no judgment, the Lord will surely return. He will come and certainly judge the unrighteous world. The past events of judgment prove this. Let us examine each of these judgment events. First, God judged the fallen angels. Let's read verse 4 together. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. Amen. The sinful angels refer to the devil and his minions. The devil, in Hebrew pronunciation, is Satan. We have adopted the Hebrew transliteration and used the term Satan. The Greek pronunciation is Diabolos. And the Korean translation is Magi. Its meaning is adversary, accuser, opponent. Satan is an entity that opposes God. He slanders God's people and the church, hinders the worship of God, and opposes them from doing so. Forces, institutions, knowledge, and ideologies that block and oppose belief in God are all anti-Christ, the work of Satan. Satan is a spiritual being. Though invisible to our physical eyes, he exists spiritually and he works. This one is described in John 8 as a murderer from the beginning. He is introduced as a liar and the father of lies. He is the deceiver in Genesis 3, the tempter in Matthew 4, and the one who relentlessly accuses and slanders the parishioners in Revelation 12. John 12, 31 introduces Satan as a prince of this world. Ephesians 2, 2 calls him the ruler of the kingdom of the air. This very one, through constant manipulation, opposes God and his saints from behind the scenes of the world's nations, power, politics, culture, economy, and military. He performs all sorts of deceitful and wicked deeds. However, he is constrained under God's sovereignty. Though he opposes God, he has already been defeated by Jesus' cross and resurrection. He still does evil, but he is making his last desperate struggle before being cast into eternal hell. Let me ask a question. John 1:3 states, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. It is declared, God created all things. All things exist by God's creation. So I ask a question. Who created Satan, the devil? Without him nothing was made that has been made. God created all things. Then who created Satan? You must answer carefully. Who created Satan? Satan is absolute evil. He is the root of all evil. if any of us were to say that God created Satan, it would lead to the logical conclusion that God is the source of evil. Is God the source of evil? Absolutely not. Mark 10:18 states, no one is good except God alone. God is good. He is not tempted by evil, nor does he do evil. He is absolute good. He is the foundation of all goodness. That a good God created Satan, the source of evil, that could never be. God did not create Satan. If Satan was not created by God, then is he self-existent? No. Only God is self-existent, and all existing things exist by God's creation. So if Satan, this devil, is neither self-existent nor exists by God's creation, then what is he? Satan was not created, but rather he is a corrupted being. Again, Satan was not created by God, but rather he is a being corrupted by sin. God created angels. Satan was originally an angel, created to exalt and praise God. But this one fell. In his pride, he abandoned his position, exalted himself, and opposed God. Because of his proud heart, he received God's judgment and condemnation, becoming a cursed and a corrupted being. Satan, the devil. The Bible introduces Satan in this way. Jude 1:6 states, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. He was an angel, but he did not keep his position and abandon his proper dwelling. That is, the one who created to praise God exalted himself and desired to be praised. 1 Timothy 3:6 states, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as a devil. The devil, through pride, abandoned his position, and because of his pride, he received God's condemnation. Ezekiel 28:13 states that he was in the Garden of Eden. And verse 17 says, he was cast out because of his pride. To summarize, the devil was originally created as one of the archangels, like Michael and Gabriel. However, this one, in his pride, did not keep his position and tried to become like God, but received God's judgment and condemnation. Becoming cursed and corrupted and was cast down to earth with his followers. This is Satan, the devil. God did not leave the proud, rebellious, and fallen angels unpunished. He did not forgive them. He cast them into hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. Even if an angel is unrighteous, God judges. God is a judge. In Noah's time, there was also God's judgment. Let's read verse 5 together. In the not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on his ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. Amen. God also judged the people of Noah's time. The Bible records the unrighteousness of the people at that time as follows. Genesis 6:5 states, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And in Genesis 6:11-12, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. For all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. All the people on earth were corrupt and violent. The powerful oppressed and exploited the weak. Then were the powerless, the victims, the oppressed righteous? No, absolutely not. They also committed the same evil against those weaker than themselves. They would abuse their power, even while complaining about being abused themselves. They will not respect the dignity of life, even of the powerless widows, orphans, children, and even unborn fetuses, and would kill them. Noah preached to this unrighteous world about the violent wickedness of people, proclaiming that God's righteous judgment would surely come. He proclaimed that they shall turn from their sin and repent. He preached for nearly 100 years while preparing the ark. So who repented? Not a single person repented. They did not believe in God. They did not believe in judgment. They mocked, saying it was a cleverly devised story. What happened? He judged. He swept away the sinful world with a flood. God showed that He is a judge. There was also judgment at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's read verse 6 together. If He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Amen. The land of Sodom was rampant with wickedness. It was full of immorality and violence. In Genesis 19, there was even homosexual sin. If you look up the English word for homosexuality, you will find sodomy. This English word sodomy originated from the name of the land of Sodom. God's angels in human form visited the city of Sodom. They arrived at the house of Lot, Abraham's nephew, who lived in that city. That evening, the people of Sodom surrounded Lot's house and threatened to bring out the two angels. And they said, "We want to know them." Looking at the English Bible translation, it meant they wanted to have sexual relations. It was about engaging in homosexual acts. When we look at who they were, it was the people of Sodom, regardless of age, not just adults, but even children. We usually say, "Kids, go away," to protect our children when we see bad things. But the people of Sodom were not like that. Not only adults, but also children were involved in homosexuality. Homosexuality was not considered bad in that city. They did not consider it a sin. It was just culture. It was a human right. It was legal. They created anti-discrimination laws and gender equality ministries, actively promoting homosexuality, even teaching it to children in schools. What happened after the angels visually confirmed their wickedness? They executed judgment. He rained down fire and brimstone, turning it into ashes. He burned down the city. He judged completely, leaving nothing behind. God created, showed that He exists and that there is righteous judgment for sin. Thus, even in ancient times, God already demonstrated righteous judgment. And at the end of verse 6, He gives another word. Let's read verse 6 again. If He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. The judgments of old were a sure proof of future judgment and also a warning. Just as God did not spare the unrighteous in ancient times, but demonstrated righteous judgment with the flood and with fire and brimstone, so too will He surely bring a great and terrifying judgment upon the ungodly in the future. When will that be? It is the time of the Lord's coming. The Lord will surely return. Do you believe in the Lord's second coming? Do you long for and await it? Are you preparing yourselves? I believe that the day of the Lord's return will be a day of great comfort and joy for those who believe and prepare, a day when salvation is completed. Conversely, for those who do not believe, who mock and scoff, and who do not prepare, the day of the Lord will be a great and terrifying day of judgment. Is God the judging Lord? He judges sin. He judged in ancient times. He judged the fallen angels. In Noah's time, He judged the disobedient and violent world with water. At Sodom and Gomorrah, He judged the ungodly with fire and brimstone. The judgments of old are sure evidence and warnings of future judgment. We must reconsider and always remember the day of the Lord and prepare for it. I believe we must prepare ourselves to be holy and pure, like a bride and adorned for her groom, to meet Jesus who will come again. How shall we live and prepare for the day of the Lord? I will share 3 points. First, you must prepare salvation by faith. You must build the ark. The Bible records Noah's faith in this way. Hebrews 11:17 states, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. When Noah received a warning about things not yet seen, namely the coming judgment, he prepared the ark with reverence, receiving and obeying the word. How then Noah prepared the ark? He prepared it by receiving the word with reverential fear and obeying it. That was Noah's faith. I believe that must be our faith as we prepare for the day of the Lord. Faith first is receiving God's word with reverential fear. Let us receive God's word with reverence. Let us honor it with fear and trembling. We must not take this word lightly and discard it. We must not judge or limit it with our own wisdom. If it differs from our thoughts and conscience, what should we do? You must break your own thoughts. You must accept God's word as truth. That is faith, and faith, second, is obeying that word. Just hearing and not obeying is not faith. It is self-deception. Noah received the word with reverence and also prepared the ark with obedience. If Noah had only received the word but not obeyed it, and thus not prepared the ark, he would have perished together on the day of judgment. With a faith that only knows, a faith without works, one cannot receive salvation. Faith without obedience is fake. Faith must be proven true by obedience. However, this obedience must not be a one-time act, but a long life. The period during which Noah obeyed and prepared the ark was not short. Genesis 5:32 states that when Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Around that time, God commanded Noah to build the ark. Genesis 7:6 states that when Noah was 600 years old, the flood waters came to the earth. He prepared the ark for nearly 100 years, from after he was 500 years old until he was 600 years old. Noah's obedience was not just a single act, but a long life. For nearly 100 years, even without any visible evidence or signs of judgment, he silently obeyed and continued to build the ark. That is faith. And during that time, the ark was prepared. How shall we prepare for the day of the Lord? We must receive God's word with reverence and obey it. That is faith. That is how we prepare for the day of the Lord, by faith. Second, we must diligently preach the gospel. Let's read verse 5 again. In the last period of the ancient world, when he brought the flood on his ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and even 7 others. Verse 5 testifies that Noah preached righteousness. Noah preached to the unrighteous and violent world that God's righteous judgment would surely come. He proclaimed that they should turn and repent. We who are preparing for the day of the Lord must also preach righteousness like Noah. There are 2 meanings of righteousness. There is a righteousness of judgment and also the righteousness of salvation. The righteousness of the gospel, we must first preach the righteousness of judgment. We must proclaim that there is God's righteous judgment for sin and unrighteousness, killing a fetus in the womb. You must tell them this is murder and not sin. And you must tell them that homosexuality is a sin and that God's judgment will come. You must proclaim that they should turn from that sin and repent. And at the same time, we must also preach the righteousness of salvation, the righteousness of the gospel. Romans 1:17 states, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteousness will live by faith." Romans 3:22 states, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. We must preach the righteousness of the gospel, the righteousness of salvation, that if you believe in Jesus, you receive forgiveness of sins, are declared righteous, are not judged, and go to heaven. You must encourage them to believe in Jesus. You must evangelize at least one more person to believe and receive salvation. I believe that is the mission we must carry out until the time of the Lord's coming. Finally, even those who have believed and received salvation must be aware that their faith can become sick, and we must be vigilant. Let's read verse 8 together. For that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. The righteous man mentioned here refers to Lot, living in Sodom. His righteous soul was tormented. His faith had become sick. The reason was that he abandoned his tent and lived in Sodom, building a house there. As he saw and heard their lawless deeds day after day, his sensitivity to sin became dulled. Lot initially lived in tents with Abraham. He followed Abraham, living according to God's word as he led them. During that time, both Abraham and Lot were blessed. Their servants and livestock multiplied, and they became wealthy. Abraham continued to live in tents, following God's word, while Lot, at a decisive moment, chose money over God's word and abandoned it. To increase his wealth, he gave up following God and went down to Sodom. At first, he continued to live in tents in his own way, living near Sodom. But that was just the beginning. And later, seeing the circumstances, he went into Sodom and abandoned his tent. He abandoned the life of a sojourner, longing for and preparing for the kingdom of God, and instead went into Sodom and built a house to live there. What happens if a saint abandons his tent and enters a city of sin to live among them? As Lot lived in Sodom, seeing and hearing the lawless deeds of his people day after day, his righteous soul was tormented. His faith had become sick. He almost suffered judgment along with the people who were being judged, failing to recognize the day of judgment. Even a righteous person's righteous soul can be tormented. Faith can become sick. It's the same for everyone. If you live in Sodom, that's what happens. If you abandon the tent life and the pilgrim life, looking towards the heavenly city, that's what happens. While we desire to build a home on earth and our eyes are not fixed on the heavenly city, we gradually become insensitive to sin, fall asleep regarding God's judgment, fail to remember and prepare for the Lord's coming, and then are startled when sudden judgment arrives. We must be vigilant. Even a person of faith can have their faith become sick. You must awaken. Our Lord Jesus will surely return. I believe he will come quickly. That day will be a day of great consolation and joy for those who believe, who long for, await, and prepare for the day of the Lord, a day when salvation is fully realized. But for those who do not believe, who have no expectation, no longing, and no preparation, the day of the Lord will be a great and terrifying day of judgment. Let us be believers. Let us long for, expect, and prepare for the Lord's coming. How shall we prepare? Let us receive the Lord's word with reverence and live a life of obedience. And let us proclaim judgment to the world and preach the gospel. We believe, however, being vigilant, that this faith can be damaged and become sick. Let us reclaim the tent we lost. Let us open our eyes and look up to heaven, striving for our identity as sojourners, living a proper life of faith. I bless you in the name of Jesus to live this week in that way.